Hey, Fadies, thanks for listening to The Fate of Ison, Chapter 5, Episode 12. That's what it is. I'm DM Brad, and it is great to have you here with us. We got a new patron today. Thank you very much to our new friend Squished, who has also joined us on the Necropodicon Network Discord server for some great chats. If you want to join us too, jump onto necropodicon.com and click the handy-dandy Discord link. You'll be chatting and chooting with us in no time. Chooting's not a word, but we'll still let you do it anyway. Just our little secret. Right. Well, anyway, here's the recap. Last time, the Apple Squadeth defeated the giant shark, and Banfor dove deep to collect its fin as a souvenir. They sailed the damaged Ofaka Rotename to the shores of the wild, where they were greeted by Porter, the Prosperity Demon. He gave Arcus a powerful staff of thunder and lightning, and then left them to camp for the night beneath the starry wild sky. Cool bananas. Anyone want to sound off, see what you sound like?
Kia ora, kia ora, kia ora. This is me. My microphone's pointing at my mouth, but my mouth is at a 45 degree angle to my microphone.
Sounds like the optimal levels there, Oliver/Bamfor.
Thank you very
Sounds
much.
Sounds great.
Wonderful, wonderful. I am hopefully in pushing my plosives forward towards the screen and having my general resonance heard by an appropriately angled microphone.
General Resonance sounds like a good character.
General Resonance. So pushing my plosives. Yes.
Cool. How is everybody? We haven't done this in a while.
Tired. Yeah. Also, my first form teacher just added me on Facebook. I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
He's not a nice man. He's a very scary man. That's me. How are you, guys?
I had a first form teacher or substitute teacher for about half the year. He was this huge American guy. I think he's probably maybe about 7 foot. Very stocky, like big build.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're a bunch of 11-year-olds, and this guy had a huge temper. Like we were always scared that he was actually going to get violent with us. And there was one incident where I can't remember why, but I was doing something that was like really racking him up, and then he stormed towards me, like threw children out of the way, like moved their desks in his path like a fucking tidal wave or something, and he's leaning over me and he's screaming like purple faced right at me, and it's the first time I ever heard the saying going to blows.
Yeah.
And he said, if you keep doing that, you and me are going to blows. And like being an 11-year-old who's just learned, words like blowjob and stuff. Exactly. not knowing what going to blows means. Hearing this huge, scary guy telling me in my 11-year-old mind that like if you keep acting up, like there's going to be a blowjob happening between us.
Like, that's how you get it.
I behaved the rest of that year like an angel.
You got threatened with oral rape. Oh my god.
Jeez.
This guy was just like a proper psycho. Like, he was just... He just smoked like a chimney, drank coffee like crazy, extremely... extremely gay, but in a mean way. In a small town way. Like, never left a small town gay. Like, you get calcified in it, and it becomes this characterization. So he would take kids, particularly girls. It was never boys. He would take girls into the supply closet and just scream in their face for like 10 minutes and just make them cry and piss their pants and then send them home. And like, he worked there for 15 years. So, unfortunately, he just added me on Facebook and he wants me to sell his house.
It literally like sounds like Matilda with Miss Trunchable.
Yeah, but it was like Mr. Lunchable. It was fucking terrible.
I am glad that you guys used ages, though, because I had no idea what age group forms are.
Oh, yeah, you're a child.
Thank you.
Oh, you're in year. Did you only have years?
Yeah.
It was year 7. Year 7.
Oh, yeah.
The first year of intermediate.
I didn't really have an intermediate school. I had my primary school was my intermediate school, so I had like... But I went to like 5 schools.
What, all at a time? Just like you're super overachiever?
Well, I was a pretty big overachiever. In my last year, I got 2 diplomas as well as my university entrance. But we moved around a lot, so I ended up going to a few different schools. And I transferred schools because one sucked.
Right, do you guys just want to jump straight into the heezy beezy?
Hi, yes. I'm Marley. I'm a half-elf bard / ranger who's not that fussed on her family. She says she's fussed on her family, but she really hasn't taken any of the multiple opportunities that she could have gone after her family and hasn't. Yeah, that's me.
Hi, I'm Arcus, and I'm a cloud demon. I got sucked into this plane of existence, much like we all are, and I'm gonna be helpful. Definitely not a bad demon, I'm a good one.
You're a demon of clouds and hugs.
That's true.
And I am Oliver, and I play Banful Watt, a barbarian / bloodhunter. And I like a dude to cha-cha. And I like a dude to cha-cha with my friend.
Okay.
I am Brad, the DM. And I'm also Nio, the goblin with turquoise skin who loves mice. And is up for an adventure, everybody. I don't really have any useful skills other than navigating the seas, but we'll see. We'll see. Try and keep me alive, everyone. Right. So when we last left you, you had arrived by boat, by the Viking-esque vessel Ofak Arotanane. You had beached it on the continent of the wild. On said beach, you met with Porter, the prosperity demon / giant frog that greeted you all and gifted Arcus a horrifically overpowered staff of thunder and lightning.
Oh yeah, what did he sound like again?
He was like, hey Arcus, this like staff is totally awesome because you're awesome, dude. And yes, and then you decided that you would camp for the night. Marley set up a tent and slept with Hodge, I believe. Banfor slept face down on the sand, and Arcus slept in the crow's nest of the Ofak Arotanane, to be closer to the stars and clouds and elements, which is kind of nice.
He's homesick.
Yeah, well, he's been away from his home for, you know, over a week now and has no sign of how to get back.
That's when the homesick sets in the worst. You get a little bit just when you leave. You get a little bit when you arrive.
Arcus,
yeah.
During the night, up in the crow's nest, you find a crinkled up old piece of paper that looks suspiciously like a map.
Ooh. It's a map. It's
I've just added that to the chat as well, if you want. That will hopefully help you visualize what I am going to describe to you next. So, your current position, you are on the beach. A few hours to the south is what appears to be a large forest. A few hours to the west is like a large mountain, and it looks like there might be like a sort of a path in between where there's like a break in forest, or there's like a wide open grassland to the north. You have an unmolested evening, and when you...
Speak for yourself.
You have an evening during which you are not attacked by any ferocious creatures or harmed in any way. But when you wake up to the sound of like waves gently lapping at the shore and like skittering sounds, and you notice that there are huge, like monstrously huge crabs just sort of scuttling about, like investigating the boat and just seeing what's going on. They're not acting aggressive at all.
How big are we talking?
We are talking the size of a cottage, like an elephant sized crab.
Elephant sized crab.
Oh my god!
Like half a dozen of them just skittering about, just chicken you out, chicken out the boat.
Can you skitter when you're the size of a
cottage?
You know.
Yeah, their bodies are these huge bulks, but they've got like long, spindly crab legs that still don't make much of an impression as they walk. Still very stealthy.
Yeah.
Baba Yaga and a chicken leg house.
Yeah, I'm not going to come at you about your verbiage, obviously, but that would be weird.
Okay, perhaps they weren't scuttling. They were doing a combination of scuttling and stomping, a word that I'm calling scompling.
Oh.
They were scompling.
Lewis Carroll over here.
Hmm. They don't seem to be doing anything other than scrambling about.
Yeah, that's right. This is just wildlife checking out this new thing that's arrived on their shore.
Okie dokie. Benfort rouses himself with a who Jim what's it, and a who's going on, and sort of generally swings about with his axe, looking to ward these things off as he's just woken up.
Okay. Do you want to... what, intimidate them to going away or something?
No, it's just generally shouting and spinning things around. There's no intended effect. It's just sort of how he wakes up.
Okay. I like it. Do you want to give us an example or just take it as granted?
It's a general guttural scream interspersed with a childlike laughter. I don't think I could do it justice. I think your imagination's enough.
Okay. Marley, you're in the tent, so you might wake up to the sound of Banfor doing that.
She wouldn't be surprised. She'd just kind of yawn. She treats it sort of like her alarm clock. It's like, oh, must be time to get up. I've probably overslept, actually.
Oh my god. Him.
Yeah.
and Arcus is up in the crow's nest.
I'd probably get up and start running some drills with Rain, because we've been training.
Oh, nice. What have you been training to do?
Oh, well, I mean, previously we were training on the ship with the rigging and everything and learning how to sail. So I think we'd just be making sure everything's sturdy and tying up ropes and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, Nio is on the boat and she's just looking over the railing at these giant crabs. Are you seeing this, Arcus? They're not supposed to be that big, are they?
I don't know.
Hey, Banfor!
What's going on?
Are they supposed to be that big?
Oh, good God, you can see them too. Thank you so much. No, yes, I don't know. I don't know. Do you come here?
She looks really nervously because of all these giant crabs that are investigating the boat she's on. Why don't you come here?
Why don't you just jump on one and see if they're friendly?
That's
first goblin to ever ride a crab.
That's gonna definitely be persuasion. She does like to show that she's adventurous, so you saying that she could be the first goblin to ride a giant crab is gonna help.
Persuasion check. Rolling. It's not good. It's a 4.
I think I'll let someone else be the first goblin to do that.
What if you were the second goblin to do that?
Oh, then that means we'd have to find another goblin to do it.
But what if one's already done it?
Oh.
You just don't know. What if you don't, then I'll beat your head in with a brick.
So you're going for intimidation now?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Aggressive to this poor little friend I had.
Been helping point out that I offered this fucking friend of ours a way out, they refused, and now they get what they ask for.
Thank you, Jules, with the you had it coming defense.
Sounds like victim blaming to me, but
yep, but hey, I'm okay with it. And the circumstance, because I did say that they would kill him.
Did you say
didn't
wait.
Believe me?
This is 17.
Okay. She looks up the crow's nest at Arcus, like silently waiting for like some kind of interference, and then just goes, ah.
I wave.
Okay.
Have fun.
I guess I got nothing left to lose. And then she leaps off onto the nearest one, and we'll get her to roll a dex save to see if she stays on its back. She does. It's an 18. She lands on the shell of one of these giant crabs and manages to hold on, and now then puts like an arm in the air like she's rodeo riding a bucking bull that happens to be a giant crab. And she's like, I didn't think this through. I'm on it, but how do I not be on it?
Banfor has begun to walk away. He's achieved what he wished to achieve. Never before has he seen a goblin riding a giant crab, apart from in his dreams.
Somebody! She's just looking frantically between all these crabs and like all the movement of legs, and she's like, flying wolf? Anyone?
Marley, like,
mice?
Hearing the signs of help kind of comes out of her tent, sees the situation, and just sort of gestures at Hodge.
Yeah, he gives you a pause, a look of, really?
I'm like, come on, we don't want our captain to die.
Then another look of, really?
And I'm like, I'm like, yeah, I hear you, but you know, we're the good guys, remember? Technically.
Shrugs his big wolf shoulders and then takes a few mighty flaps until he's up in the air, and then does pulls a little maneuver to swoop down and pick up Nio.
And I point at the boat.
Picks her up with his claws and then just very roughly dumps her onto the boat, so she's back where she started.
Yeah, I'm like, good boy, Hodge.
Then he swoops around and comes back and lands next to you. She's like, it doesn't really thank you, I guess.
It's better you stay with the ship. Molly's like hollering now.
Okay, well, I mean, what are we even doing here?
There was a thing about a queen, and then she died. Wait, no, there was a lady that was in charge, and she died. And then there was a queen, and then I was a king. And now we've gone over here, because we've got to find ice cream.
Ice cream?
I call out from the crow's nest. I'm like, that's exactly how I remember it.
That's exactly how I remember it, too. So we should find the coldest place we can. Can Banfor see any mountains with
there
snow
is
on them?
There is a rocky mountain to your immediate west.
Does it have any snow on it?
It does not. It's just rocks. Just a very tall, jagged hill, basically.
Anvil still has a hunch. He points at it and says, if I know ice cream, which I don't, that's where it will be. It's got to be the coldest place on this island. Let's go.
If you go get ice cream, can you get rid of these crabs so I can come too?
You can get rid of these crabs because I believe in you, and you're a strong, strong young thing. And I support you. You know, look, I support you. Why don't you set that ship on fire? They'll go running.
Is that how crabs work?
That's how crabs work. They fear only a burning ship. It's the only thing in the world that they fear.
Okay. As you know, she starts examining the state of the ship, like, because it was quite damaged in the shark attack.
Mally says, are you sure you don't want to go home?
I just don't want to get eaten by crabs.
You won't get eaten by crabs if you light that ship on fire, I promise you.
Or I could just send you home.
Don't listen to her. She's trying to stop us having fun. This is a lot of fun.
She looks back up the crow's nest at Arcus, and then she gets this like steely look of determination. I'm going to do this. For goblin kind, and for the mice. Someone's got to protect those mice. And it might as well be me.
I want to like shimmy down the crow's nest, and I go up to her, and I hold her hand.
Oh, this is nice.
That's it.
Oh.
I'm offering strength, but I don't have the words, so I'll just hold her hand.
Can you do some cloudy stuff to get us past these crabs?
Can I? Do we have to kill the crabs? I don't like fish meat.
I start walking towards the trees. I'm leaving them to it.
Okay, so you're just heading southward?
Yeah.
Bamvor takes a moment to grab supplies from the ship so that later on a retcon can be done.
Okay, you go towards the ship, and as you approach, the crabs will sort of scomple away from you a little bit more, like into the water, kind of clearing a path.
Good. I acknowledge this and throw a brick out into the water, a half brick.
One of them chases it like it's playing fetch.
Therefore throws many more half bricks.
They all go
wrong. I assume I have an endless supply of them.
Yeah, you do. You've got magic half bricks. They all like scomple off into the water until they all disappear into the depths.
Bamfor has still got the panda crab and says, "See that, buddy? One day, if you eat all of your mice, you'll be that big."
Not the mice.
I forgot you had a panda crab.
I've got a panda crab, bruh. You have no idea the menagerie that I'm going to make you maintain.
I love it. I love the hoops you make me jump through for this game. So Marley and presumably Hodge just casually stroll off to the south. You didn't stop for any breakfast or provisions or anything, or are you going to eat while you walk?
Yeah, eat while I walk.
Bamford just grabs a couple of shoulders worth of supplies from the ship. A big butt of water, some rations and whatnot, and some things that I'll need later that I have not specifically mentioned but definitely picked up.
It's not the shot cock, is it?
It's not the shot cock. I think I've gotten rid of that by now. Yeah, probably.
That lost its final charge against Namakak.
I mean, it's still impressive as a, you know, hood ornament.
Okay, so, Marley and Hodge have gone off to the south. Bamfor has retrieved some items from the ship. I can only presume that after...
I'm not walking terribly fast, by the way. I'm sort of dawdling. I just find that the fastest way to get them going is to go.
To wander off.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm, like, walking slowly so they can still see me.
It's exactly the same with my kids. In a public place. You're not going? Well, I am.
Right, so guess who's got car keys?
Okay, yeah. Nio looks very hopeful as all the crabs leave and Bamfor arrives on the ship.
Yay! Thanks. I can adventure with you now. That wasn't scary. I was just testing you.
It's okay. It's okay to be scared. And I take her hand and we start walking off. Following the others.
Okay, nice. I like that. She just walks with you hand in hand as you go off the beach onto grass, which at first is sort of like short grass with like really sandy soil beneath, and then it gives way to like regular hard packed soil and really long, like knee high grass that sort of gives off like a really pleasant rustling sound as it waves in the breeze. You're currently in basically like an ocean of knee-high grass.
As somebody who has seen Jurassic Park 2, let's see what's happening here.
As you walk, you do notice just wildlife around. Nothing seems to be coming anywhere near you. But the one thing that stands out is that the stuff that you see is very large. You see, like in the distance, what might be a rhinoceros. You see what may or may not be like some kind of giant ape just sort of walking around, just stomping around.
Are we having a Gulliver's Travels moment?
No, it's just the wildlife here that you've seen is very large. Like it's just been allowed to grow for centuries or millennia.
Is it everything or is it just like fun things?
Everything you're seeing is large, and that might be due to the fact that the stuff you're not seeing is in the tall grass.
So we're not looking at like mosquitoes the size of a dachshund.
No,
because if so, I'm out. Like I have skull fucked a dragon and I have killed a fire giant, but that ain't me, brother.
Good to know.
That ain't me.
If a mosquito's that size, then it's basically a vampire at that point.
And at that point, it's moot. We just need to burn the continent and leave.
Okay, so you walk into a giant swamp filled with huge mosquitoes. they all have Banfor's name etched onto them already, which is weird.
They've all got throat tattoos of my name.
It turns out they're
hey, bro. Hey, bro. I've been wanting to suck you for the longest time.
Do you at any point check the compass orb, the glowing glass orb that Queen Shan gave you, that glowed different colours when she pointed it towards the wild?
What?
Remember that? That's the whole reason she knew to go to the west, is she gave you this glass artifact that...
Brad, Arcus I'm going to remind you that you're talking to a group of people who have a little connection to the God of Knowledge and an unfathomably large storage locker. And frequently don't use that.
I thought you were going to say unfathomable stupidity.
I was going to agree.
I don't know if it's stupidity or it's just complacency, because we just seem to murder our problems all the way.
Look, if it ain't fixed, don't... If it ain't broken, don't fix it. If it ain't fixed, don't broke it.
If it ain't fixed, don't broke it.
I think I like that more.
It's better.
If it ain't fixed... Don't broke it.
We say in our household, we say, not a pretty face.
Just in the mirror each morning.
No, just to people. When somebody says something smart, you go, not a pretty face.
Oh, not just a pretty face, just not a pretty
face. Not a pretty face. As we were.
Cool. So do I have the glass orb? Glass orb?
Last we spoke of it, Arcus was juggling it and dropped it. But I would say, based on the mechanic, based on
has it stored inside of them, and we're using them as a human compass.
Can I do that? Can I just have it like in my mouth, and then I open my mouth and it glows?
Based on how this party normally works, the useful things get looked after by Marley.
What, like the money and the quest items, and generally where we're supposed to be going?
Yeah. Pretty much covers most of that. You guys cover banter. I got the items.
And Arcus, do you share with the group the fact that you found a crinkled old map in the crow's nest? Or is that just for you?
It's just my secret information that I'm keeping to myself.
Secret evil.
So I think I'll while we're walking, I'm like, oh, by the way, I found this napkin. And...
as a hat, like a fucking hunter.
Yeah, I've turned it into one of those newspaper hats, and I bring it out and I put it on. Is it big enough for that? If it's not, I'll put it on Rain.
Yeah, no, it's big enough for you to make a hat out of for yourself.
Cool, I've made a hat out of it for myself.
It's a fine looking hat you have there. We should use that as a fire starter later on today when we find our ice cream.
A hat's good for fire.
Hats are very good for fire. They burn well. Also, houses burn. People burn. Fun Soil. Fact. Takes a while to get them started, but once they go, fuck me, they go. Tell you that right now.
The candles of the animal kingdom, humans.
Yeah, the little ones are easier. If you can find a little fat kid pretty much anywhere, you're good for fire starters for a month. Tell you that. Right now, that's a free one. That's one of old Uncle Banfor's bits of trivia.
I just slide our little goblin friend a little bit further away from Banfor.
Thank you. So in the absence of a map, I probably would check the orb.
Right.
To see where I'm going.
Okay. Yeah, and when you do, you point it in all directions, but you notice that when you point it in roughly from where you are, southwesterly direction, it glows red and blue.
Southwest, red and blue. Got it.
Yeah, so and as you're walking towards that forest, you notice that the sea of grass looks like it widens to your right, so as if you could either walk into this forest or you could follow like the grasslands past the forest to the right.
I would probably be thinking that grasslands was going to be the easier of the two, so I guess if it's, you know, close enough, I'd probably go that way. Well, I would start walking that way until somebody does something or something happens. Yeah.
Okay. So you veer away from the forest.
Seeing that it's close enough. Yeah.
And yep, start heading in a southwesterly direction, continuing on the grasslands. And you end up walking for many, many hours, including probably stopping for a lunch break in the middle of the day. Then you come into like a narrow section where the grasslands is like a definite path in between that forest and like the base of a mountain. If you're having trouble visualizing what I'm
it's
saying.
It's the same mountain we saw before.
Yes.
But it's mostly just an overblown hill.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like most mountains are.
You know what? You're not fucking wrong. I've been saying this about Everest forever. It's...
Unless it's a volcano, then it's a volcano. But everything else is an overblown hill. A volcano is a hill that's going to be blown over.
It's a spicy hill.
It's a spicy hill. It's like a your average mountain is just Cool Ranch.
Yeah.
Tell you
that's why lava's red.
It's spicy.
Spicy hot sauce.
Anyway, so we're taking a westerly direction towards this hill.
Yes, so like...
Is it a western hill?
The mountain is to the west, the forest is to the south, and you're sort of now going between the two, heading southwest.
Okay, yes, fantastic. Through that gap. I mean, through a gap, yep. Not that I recognise one. Wow. Just out of interest, Arcus, is the hat you're wearing like colourful side up or colourful side down?
Oh, colourful side up. I want the pattern on the outside.
Bamfor, do I have to roll to see if I have like neurons connect to each other and like recognize that there is a gap between trees on a map on her head, and also there is a gap between trees that we're walking on?
I will leave that to you. You can either just say yes you do, or you can roll, make a perception check to see if you notice that.
I'm gonna roll for it. That didn't go terribly. It's 12.
Okay, so yeah, you look at the hat as you walk, and you take a really hard look, and you see enough of it that you think that's definitely a map, but you don't know what it's a map of.
That's definitely a map. And leaves it at that. Anybody smarter than me over here? That.
I don't think Arcus has ever...
Marcus?
I was trying to say Matt and Arcus.
Somebody's decided which way they're going.
That's what it's called when I wear my hat, my Matt hat. I become...
What is this? It's Marcus.
Marcus. Yeah, I don't think Arcus really knows what a map is, so... but likes the name, and it's taken it for their final form.
Marcus. Okie smoky. So we are heading, hold on, I'll bring that quote unquote squiggly drawing up. So are we calling it like, is it a day's travel through this cut, or is that more of like an afternoon?
So by the time you reach that pass, it's starting to get like late afternoon. Like you've been walking the entire day since the beach.
Well, Bamford's tired, and he's dragging his feet a bit, and he hasn't killed anything since that shark, and he's honestly just sort of looking around with a javelin. Are there any like giant birds flying by that he can javelin at?
You do notice when every time you look up in the sky that like flying really high up, there are giant flying things, but they're not close enough for you to make out any details. Like they could be giant bats, they could be giant eagles, they could be any large flying thing.
Is there any sort of general wildlife that I can throw sharp sticks at?
Yeah. If you stop for a moment, you'd probably like see movements in the grass and things that would suggest maybe like boars or elk or tigers or, you know, any
bears.
How long is this grass?
it's knee high, so like tiger or a boar could hide in it. Not an elk, obviously.
I mean, even a tiger or a boar would have trouble. Yeah, no, great. Bamfor is going to sort of pause for a moment and allow the others to get some distance. And then he's going to listen for a rustle, 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 rustle. Also okay. Known as a susurration.
Okay, you roll me a d6 and I will tell you what you find, if anything.
Okay. 5.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Aha! Five. You see, stalking around quite close to you is a hyena.
Just sort of. Oh, hyenas are like dogs, but cool.
Yeah,
nice.
So it sort of comes. It's been coming close in the grass, and then like moving away at a distance, and then coming close again, like it's sniffing you, investigating you.
From the ship, did Bamfor get any like dried meats or general things?
I'd say you would have picked up whatever food provisions you had. You know, you wouldn't have left them on the ship.
Bamfor gives him a little, come here, mate.
Okay, animal handling.
Come and get it. Yeah, gives him a little, come and get it.
Do your friends notice this happening? You've lagged behind and you're saying, come and get it.
come on, buddy. I'll tell you right now, I expect something good because I am good with animals in real life. Oh, good God, that's a natural one.
Okay, chaos.
With minus
chaos.
One. Chaos, so that's a zero.
Okay.
With a natural one.
Yeah, first of all, we'll do chaos curse. Second of all, this thing is on a zero. It's not happy.
I was going to say that I had my axe ready behind my back, but I didn't say it. And now...
Come on, boy. Come on.
We'll see. Come on, buddy. Come here, buddy. It's also how I talk to children. It fucking works. Hello, mate. Do you want a Lego?
okay. Roll D100 for the Chaos Curse.
Oh, good God. Not a pretty face.
The ones?
85.
Okay. 85. You fall asleep.
Oh, good.
All enemies have advantage against you. So...
Go fall asleep in a rage.
You're like, come here, boy, come here. And then you just, flump, fall asleep in the tall grass. Your friends can't see you.
Come on, buddy. And then, like, the meat just falls on my throat.
Yeah, this hyena, which was angry at you, sees the opportunity for a very easy meal and eats the meat.
I will remind you, sir, that there are 7 mice and a paddle crab upon my person, who we have determined at least the 7 mice have some sort of sentience. So I will leave it up to you to determine what the fuck happens there.
Right, okay, so this hyena eats the meat out of your hand first, and then it starts to nibble a little bit on an exposed bit of your arm. But as it does, your troop of the Sarcastic 7 leap into action and charge down your arm and start like yelling at it in mouse speak, get out of here, you little bastard, get out of here, and they shoo it away, and then they resume their positions hiding in your armor and you wake up.
I have a question.
Bleeding a little bit from your arm.
How could
no,
you
Marley didn't stop the entire time, if that was your question.
No, I was wondering, you said mouse speak. Do all the animals speak different languages independently, or is there like exactly one overall animal language?
Bulk out this wiki, Brad.
They all speak their own.
Oh, wow. Cool.
We already established that when Jeff and Simon couldn't understand each other until they entered the nature realm.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to stump me, JD. You're trying to stump me.
I was curious. I didn't know. I wasn't a part of that venture.
Have you ever, like, you know that moment when, like, Marcellus Wallace ends up in that basement in Pulp Fiction? Yeah. You're in his world now, brother. You're in his world now.
So Bamfor, you wake up probably confused, I imagine, in the tall grass.
Honestly. Bleeding.
The meat is missing and your arm is bleeding slightly.
Bamfor just sort of like shrugs and walks off. Like, honestly, this is, as far as his life goes, it's about a 4 out of 10 for weird. At least he knows that he walked into the field, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he has been transported by a demon.
Your companions have gotten ahead of you quite a bit, and Marley, you notice that about maybe 15 minutes away from you, so, you know, a fair bit away, but not obviously, you know, going to take forever. It looks like some kind of like settlement or town or village but it's very dilapidated. You can see very obviously destroyed buildings, like just like bare foundations. And it looks like, yeah, some kind of horrific thing happened here a while ago. The tall grass is growing amongst the buildings and stuff, so this whatever happened isn't fresh.
Okay.
Banfor is hurrying to catch up.
Cool. I keep walking.
Banfor keeps catching up.
I've just been trudging along.
Hey, do you guys see that? Do you see that?
Oh, you are still here, what's happening?
Yeah, the grass is like up to Nio's chin.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just like, like lifting her chin up to see over it. She's like, there's buildings. Do you think there's people?
There certainly are buildings. I don't think so. Do you see, there's vines and just, whatnot.
Yeah, just tall grass.
In general, overgrowth.
Yeah, some of them might have vines and ivy growing up the side.
Some of them might have vines and ivy growing up the side. People, as far as I'm aware, much more diligent with home care. So, me thinketh. No. By the way, Banfor, just for no reason, has lit a torch. He's just got it, just to have.
Okay. Yeah.
Seems dangerous.
Yeah, in this tall grass. As it is late afternoon and soon to be evening, I mean, that probably isn't the worst idea. But it's probably not a great idea because of the tall grass, but...
Well, it's also a great idea because of the tall grass.
The light is going to fade relatively soon. Nio says, should we go around that place or maybe try and see if there's anything there?
Well, I mean, I don't mind sleeping with a roof over my head.
Mm.
For the first time ever.
I mean, I will be sleeping outside, but I'd like to sleep near roofs. It's my kink.
You like to know that it's an option.
I just, so I want to be able to sleep outside. Yeah, I want to be able to deny it.
Yeah.
Like, it's masturbating is not the same if you don't have somebody to say no to.
Yeah.
You're getting on my level, bro.
Yeah, when you can sleep under a roof but choose not to, that's where the power is.
That's where the power is.
That's freedom. Watch Fury Road.
Get learned.
Figure it out, bro. Read Roger Stone's book.
Okay, so as a group, you keep heading towards this dilapidated village.
Ah, such a good word.
As long as it's going in the right direction, bro, headed there. Yeah,
it's still southwest. This village is sort of like in the middle of the pass, so...
Yeah.
Obviously, it's been placed here probably... because it is a pass, or at some point maybe it was a pass.
Makes sense, but I mean, because Molly's not like terribly bothered by the idea of coming across something they need to fight. She's pretty cocky at this point, so she's like, okay, well, we need to go that way. I'm not going to be an idiot about it, like, I'm going to go ready, but I'm going to go that way, because I need to go that way, and I need to go that way quickly, so let's not fuck around, you know? So that's kind of always her thinking. So she might, like, draw a weapon as she's walking through, but that's about all she's thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe not make a whole lot of noise.
Yeah. As Hodge is padding through the grass, his head is sort of swiveling from left to right. Like, it's clear he's, like, picking up scents of things. But he's not growling or taking on a, like, an aggressive stance or anything. He's just very aware.
Yeah.
He's just aware that there's lots of life around here.
He's a werewolf.
And that's the end of the podcast.
Oh my god. I'm
not just
so
the episode,
angry that you came up
podcast.
With that. I didn't. I want to throttle you. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, that's
amazing. This is a chef's kiss and a smack on a baby's butt. That's great. And a werewolf.
So Molly would turn around and tell the rest of them, like, maybe don't be super loud here. Maybe be ready in case there's trouble. But we need to go this way.
Okay, I'll be quiet. Quiet as a mouse.
I actually hate this character so much and may end up killing it myself.
No!
Like,
Molly turns bad.
What I love is that it's is that I love that it's been evident from like from the very first moment that Jules hates this character, but JD loves it. So
that's
I wanted to leave this damn thing on the boat. Like, I didn't want this thing with us at all. Like,
so this NPC Nio was actually created by KP, our latest Patreon supporter, and they said that they want to create they want this character to be really annoying. So
why do we hate our fans, Brad?
Why? No question. Why do our fans hate us?
One of them was like, hey, could I have a cool coat?
So you succeeded. You've annoyed me. Okay, if you're listening, you've annoyed me.
Okay,
well done.
KP is definitely
I'm
listening.
I'm here for it.
Hi KP, thanks for your support. They know more about this world.
I think she's great. I don't know if made her annoying enough, Brad.
Challenge accepted.
That's fine, but you gotta remember you're going up against me, and I'm peak annoyance.
She starts photobombing all of your selfies by doing like rabbit ears behind you.
She's using the dog filter.
I'll have you know, I got kicked out of a flat in Wellington and moved to the flat next door.
Iconic.
Nio is going to start calling everything redonkulous.
Totes redonk.
Here for it. I don't know. I love obnoxious characters. I think they're great. You be loud, Queen. You be.
Why Simon Bridges is the best Prime Minister of New Zealand.
So you approach this dilapidated village, and you do see that some of the buildings are relatively intact. All of them have at least some damage, but there are a few that are still technically buildings. And it's like, it's almost Wild West style. Like, it's just like a main street, and you walk in, but in the middle where there's like wooden buildings with porches and stuff. Some of them are missing roofs and walls. And they just look like they were lodgings for whoever lived here before.
I like that they're technically buildings. Mm. Technically.
Rather than just, some of them are just foundations and some of them are actual structures.
Bamfor's going to be holding on to his axe and sort of just having it ready because it's a spooky little area. Are there any, like, writings on the walls? Not that he can read, but are there any, like, squiggles that seem to be what writing usually looks like?
There are some of the buildings have, like, signs on them that are, like, really weather-worn that you can't read, but one of them says...
No.
Yeah, one of them says store.
Does it look like, are there still items around and stuff? Does it look like everyone just left... suddenly, or does it look like
it looks like whatever happened
like,
happened
destroyed.
Happened a long time ago, so like if there might be items lying around in the tall grass.
Panfor's gonna sort of make it to the end of the main street and just sort of have a good decent accounting of how the town's laid out.
It is just that one street and with like buildings on either side. This is a very small sort of like a trading post kind of area. Like you stop by, you buy something from the general store, you stay at the like tavern or inn, and then you move on.
Is there a place with a roof?
Yeah, some of the houses or some of the structures have roofs.
How long have we been traveling?
A day. This is the end of that first day that you woke up.
Okay. Marley starts looking around for a house that looks, kind of intact, but like... it might be good shelter.
Nio is like running up and down on the like front porches and banging on the doors and banging on the walls, making a lot of noise to completely against the wishes of Marley earlier, saying to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But she's
you're really not helping me not kill this character.
Bamfor throws a half brick at her and then shushes it.
Okay, hang on.
I'd have to throw it at her, wouldn't I?
No, that's a 2 for her to get out of the way. She does not. She gets a brick to the back of the head. Oh, she's like, ow! I'm just trying to see which ones aren't going to fall down.
Gives her a... Banful shushes her with a middle finger over his lips.
I just want to see which ones don't fall down.
Ooh, that's fair enough, mate. But do it with fire. Fire's quiet. And Banful gives her a torch.
Stop trying to turn her into an arsonist.
Yeah, she's not convinced. She's like,
what do you mean? I'll turn that ass where I want it.
She's holding the fire and like, maybe I won't do that. And then she goes up to the one that says store above the door, and she turns a handle and the door creaks, and then she just sort of walks into a dark room, which she is now lighting with her torch.
Banful strolls over and looks through the window.
Okay. Yeah, you see inside what is obviously a small shop. There's barrels, there's like a big row of shelves on the back wall, with what looks like a bar or like a countertop. And you see standing out of one of the barrels is 5 like rusty old javelins. Almost as if to replace the javelins you lost fighting the shark.
Banful collects his 5 rusty javelins.
Okay, so you go in. And this building is pretty decently intact.
I feel like we're definitely getting attacked. Banful has collected these 5 rusty javelins and has transferred the paddle crab into a moist blanket that he's kept in his pack.
Okay.
And so thus his shield is free and rotating around him, just FYI.
Yeah, there's lots of barrels and like keg-like things in this room. In fact, there is even a keg with a tap on it, as well as lots of jars and pots and bowls, some of which have things like daggers and stuff like that. This is clearly just an all-purpose store from some time ago.
Banful investigates the room, looking for... Am I coming through okay? Banful, investigates the room, looking for anything of value.
Okay, roll an investigation check.
Cool. Not good. That is an 8.
It's an 8. You just... notice the stuff that I just described. You just see jars and pots with daggers and knives and basic necessities, a couple like crossbows on the wall, and things that look like maybe at one point they had food in them, but they don't obviously have food in them anymore. But yeah, you notice nothing special, and Nio is just waving this torch around, trying to look at things, blowing dust off of labels and stuff. And then she goes up to one of the barrels and she's like, oh, this one's got water in it. Do we need water?
Well, we have some water, but I mean, how old's that water?
Does oldness really matter with water? All water's very old.
Well, stale and potentially poisoned.
Bacterial load is a problem. If you want to have the next 3 weeks shitting fucking water. As somebody who's drunk water that a possum fell into 6 months prior, it's not fun.
Yeah, but you boil it.
The possum. Do we?
Yeah. Good meat possum.
Yeah, no, so Banful cracks the lid of this water and gives it a snuff.
Yeah, it smells kind of musty. You wouldn't want to drink it, but you might drink it if you had to.
Banful grabs the goblin and puts its head in.
This is just getting aggressive.
She kicks and fights as if,
then
Banful
pulls
as if you are drowning
the goblin out. Banful pulls the goblin out and just goes, see, now we'll figure out if it's alright to drink, won't we?
Oh, she dropped the torch and it is still lit on the floor.
Banful picks up the torch and says, you've lost torch privileges.
You drowned me.
You drowned yourself with your silly questions.
Unbelievable.
Banful goes over to the keg.
Molly's cleaning her fingers with a dagger and says, "Are you sure you don't want to go home?"
Giant crabs, giant beasts, giant flying things, hyenas hiding in oceans of giant grass. Welcome to the wild, everybody. I wonder what awaits the Applesquaddith in this spooky abandoned town. What I don't wonder, though, is how much we love our Patreon supporters. Big shout-outs to Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from the Not Quite Heroes podcast, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodman and James Blysis from Wheel or Woe, Cy J. Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Rod Ruff, Marta, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Fowles, Lauren Flake, Kydela, Rihanna Kvalcik, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols from the Happy Go Lucky podcast, KP and Squished. We couldn't make this show without you, and we very much appreciate your support. Anybody else who wants to show their love for the show can do so, either by joining us on social media, which I'll tell you all about in just a minute, or heading on over to patreon.com/fateofison to check out the reward tiers and see how you can become a part of our team. Right, those socials that I mentioned are Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, all at fateofison, or you could email good old-fashioned fateofison@gmail.com. Or the Necropodicon Discord server has a link on necropodicon.com or on our website, fateofison.com. There's so many ways to get in touch with us. You have no excuses not to. I mean, apart from if you don't want to. But still. Alrighty, that's it for this week. We will see you next time, everybody. Smoochy boochies.
And listen to this podcast, man. Why don't you like check out Necropodicon.com? It's a network that has all kinds of different podcast shows like true crime, D&D, movie reviews, man, and all kinds of stuff. So check out Necropodicon.com. Yeah, that's it. That's the end of this thing. Just over-splain, man. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds just like me. Wow.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.